I'm going to tell you why people get a lot of demerits today. I'm going to tell you why a Christian would find himself in what we would call deep sin. All sin is deep, but there are sins that would devastate us. I'll tell you why you may find yourself there someday. I'm going to tell you why people quit college. They go home. They don't finish. I'm going to tell you why some of you even right now are confused about what you want to do with your life. I'm going to tell you the purpose of Hiles Anderson College today. I'm going to tell you the purpose for your life. You say, but Lawrence, how do you know that? You're talking to a group of well over hundreds and hundreds, maybe over 1,000. I don't know how many people, but there are a lot of people in here. So how could you do that? How could you tell me the purpose of my life? You just listen and you'll see. There's no doubt in my mind. I will tell you the will of God for your life somewhere in the next few minutes. I'll tell you the purpose for every class at Hiles Anderson College in the next few minutes. I'm going to tell you the reason every class is taught at Hiles Anderson College and the purpose for every one of those classes and everything that's said in their classes. I have here a railroad tie. You've all seen them before. A piece of iron. Then I have another railroad tie. The second has been twisted to make the handle look attractive. It's been sharpened into a knife. I'll come back to these later on. I don't want you to turn to it, but I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you. From Mark chapter 5, it says this. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. In verse number 15 it says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion setting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The story of the maniac of Gadara. Jesus met a man one day that lived in a graveyard. He had made the tombs his home. Maybe he had taken two grave markers and somehow built a little shack there. Maybe some old pieces of stick. In our modern day, it would have been a man taking two stones and throwing some cardboard over it, maybe finding some trash plastic and figuring out a way to live in that graveyard. This man was a wild man. They had chained him, but chains could not hold the man. He had an unclean spirit. The Bible says he was often bound with chains. He had unsuccessfully been bound with fetters. A fetter would be like a pair of handcuffs that they would put around the feet. But it would break them off. The Bible says he would break them into pieces. No man could tame him. He was like an animal, frothing at the mouth, wild. They could not make him captive. Picture a lion tamer with a whip and a chair, and they'd get around this man, and he'd try to attack them. He was a wild and a vicious man, living in the tombs. Little makeshift shack, nasty, dirty, unkept. Picture a horse trainer. They could not train him. Picture him being in a corral and the horse riding around in circles, but this was a wild horse. just buck all over the place. There was no controlling him. There was no saddling the man as if we were trying to tame a wild beast. He would not be saddled. He would not be controlled. He would not be changed. Picture a wild beast trapped in a room. It wasn't long ago that Hammond High School, just a few years ago, they had a big plate glass window, and a deer had ran through that plate glass window and went into the building. It was tearing through the building, just tearing everything up, trying to get out of that building, smashing up against the lockers and smashing into doorways and smashing into glass, thinking it would escape the building. That's how this man was. He'd get around calm, normal people, and he'd just go wild, frothing at the mouth. Night and day, he was in a graveyard howling. Folks, this isn't a story like out of Hollywood. This is a true story. It's in the Bible. This man was actually like this. He would take sharp stones and he would cut himself. The blood would run down his body and he wouldn't wash it off, and it'd be dried and the dirt would stick to it. He was clothed in filthiness. He was a mongrel. The Bible says that he was running in the graveyard naked. And the further away from God you get, the more your clothes you take off. He was a beast of a man. He did not clip his fingernails. He didn't even bite them like you do. His fingernails were long, yellowed, and curled. You've seen a street person of our day, the street people of our day would be like kings compared to this man. But something happened. He met Jesus. And nobody has ever met Jesus without some type of change taking place. The next thing you know, you get to Mark chapter 5, verse number 15, and we find that he is now sitting. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed, dressed in clothing, formerly naked. But not only does he have a shirt and a pair of pants on, but he's dressed in the cloak of God's righteousness. He's now clean. He's in his right mind. He was listening to Jesus. He was no longer bound by fetters and chains, but bound by redeeming love. What the animal tamer could not do, the tenderness of Jesus Christ has done. The lion is now a lamb. A staff member here at the college called me some years ago. And for some of you, I've used this message here at the college before. Twice in all the 60, 70 times I've preached at college, have I preached the same message? I have no doubt this is exactly what the college needs to hear today. But a college staff member called me, and they said on the telephone, "Brother Owens, we're thinking about hiring someone to work out here in a certain position. We'd like to talk with you just a little bit about them and interview you." So I talked a little while, and then finally I was asked this question. "Brother Owens, would you consider this young person a life changer? Are they a life changer?" I was caught off guard. I thought about it for a moment, and then I said, "No, not to my knowledge." I'm going to ask you a question today. Are you a life changer? Are you a life changer? You might say, "Brother Owens, man can't change a life." Let me reword it for you then. Is God using you to change lives? Is God using you to change lives? Or do you even want Him to? I said, are you a life changer? I'm not talking about the person beside you. I'm not talking about the other people that you're around. I'm not talking about somebody that works on your bus route. I'm not talking about your bus captain. I'm not talking about your Bible club leader. I'm not talking about the leader of your ministry. I'm not talking about somebody you're associated with. It's a very, very personal question. And it is to everybody in this room. You say, "Well, I'm packing my bags and I'm leaving today." I'm talking to you too. I'm talking to you. I'm asking you a question. Are
you a life changer?
The people in Mark 5:15, when the life had been changed, they were afraid. This thing of life changing is almost scary to us. We're willing to be around where lives are being changed, but I got to ask you something. Are you changing lives? You see, first of all, we should all be life changers. Every one of us should be a life changer. Acts 4:13, it talks about some people that met up with some men, and it says this, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, Jesus was a life changer. Hey, ask the maniac. Jesus was a life changer. Hey, ask the maniac's family, the maniac at Gadara. Can you imagine when that man went home to his wife and his kids? They said, "Who have you met?" He said, "I met Jesus." And they said, "What a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life." Jesus was a life changer. Ask the woman at the well. Jesus was a life changer. Ask the blind man that Jesus restored his sight. Jesus was a life changer. Ask the lame man who could not walk and Jesus helped him to walk. He was a life changer. Ask Zacchaeus. Ask Matthew. Ask Peter. Hey, ask anybody that came in contact with Jesus Christ and they would say, that man is a life changer. And I'm asking you today, are you like Jesus? Are you a life changer? Do people change for the better because of you? Do you change lives for the better or for the worse? I hate to say this today, and this is not the message, but I'll promise you, there are some of you that are using your life, you're using the energy that God gave you to be a life changer for the better, and you're using it for the worse. Somebody came here with pure intentions, and you have changed their life for the worse. You have changed somebody and ruined their ministry because of your influence. When you were to be changing somebody for the better, you have changed them for the worse. Everybody is changing lives. Everybody here is changing lives. I'm asking you, are you a life changer for the better? Hey, can anyone point to you and say, she changed my life? He changed my life. The maniac went home and said, honey, my life has been changed. Now let me ask this question. Would you have been hired for that position here at the college based on the question, is he or is she a life changer? If you needed to be hired again, would you be? Are you a life changer? You know something? We can get you a job anywhere in the world if you're a life changer. I'm worried about what's going to happen after graduation. I'm telling you what to do about it right now. There are always positions for life changers. Always. Always. Say, what about the economy? In God's economy, He's looking for life changers. That's what He's looking for. There's never been a time when a life changer didn't have a job. Never. Life changers are never unemployed. Never. They never have to sit around and wait and wait and wait. No, life changers go somewhere. God's got something for the life changer. You say, I'm going to have my diploma. I'm going to have it all. You may not have it all. Let me ask you a question. Are you a life changer? Are you a life changer? See, I'm not asking you if you had some fun with somebody on the weekend. You changed a life. I'm not asking you if you spent some time with somebody in a ministry. I'm asking, did you change your life? I'm not asking you if you were there, did you change your life? I'm not asking if you preached to somebody. Did you change your life? I'm not asking you if you sat with somebody on the bus. I'm asking, did you change your life? I'm not asking if you spoke to someone. I'm asking, did you change your life? I'm not
asking if you shook hands with someone, did you change your life? I'm not asking if you ate with someone this weekend, to be kind. I'm asking, did you change a life? I'm not asking you if you shuffled some papers. I'm asking, are you a life changer? I'm not asking you if you're a father. I'm asking you, are you a life changer? I'm not asking you if you're a mother. I'm asking you, are you a life changer? I'm not asking you if you're a teacher. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're a preacher. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're a Sunday school teacher. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're a dormitory supervisor. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're an administrator. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're a Bible club worker. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're a bus captain. I'm asking you, are you a life changer? I'm not asking you if you're a student at Hiles Anderson College. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're a faculty member. I'm asking you if you're a life changer. I'm not asking you if you're a staff member. I'm asking you, are you a life changer? I'm not asking you if you're an assistant dormitory supervisor. I'm asking you, are you a life changer? I'm not asking you if you had a big attendance. I'm asking you, are you a life changer? I'm not impressed with how many people somebody can produce. I'm impressed with the lives that John Francis changes. That's what I'm impressed with. Are you a life changer? Are you a life changer? Very personal question. Big attendances don't impress me. The lives of people, that impresses me. That's what it's all about. People's lives are more important than gold and fame and position and achievement and accomplishment. You've not really accomplished anything until you've changed a life for Jesus Christ. And so, number one, we should all be life changers. But to become a life changer, you must want to be a life changer. You want to be a life changer? I'm asking, I'm not asking you if you want the benefits. Yeah, you'd all like to have somebody say, yeah, he changed my life or she changed my life. I'm not asking you if you want the benefits. I'm asking you, do you want to change lives? That's what this is all about. Hey, that's why these buildings are here. That's why you're here. That's why this book is here. That's what it's all about. God loves people, and people are lives, and it's all about changing lives for Jesus Christ. Do you want to be a life changer? Some of you need to ask that question. I'm telling you right now, I am telling you the difference between two kinds of people in this room right now. The ones that are going to do something for God are the ones that decide to be life changers, and the rest won't. They'll be there, but they won't do anything. I'm not asking you if you want a degree from Hiles Anderson College. Some of you want a degree. I'm glad. I got mine. I've got lots of them. I think I have 5 college degrees altogether. So what? I know all sorts of people that have college degrees, but they're not life changers. You say, are you trying to minimize the degree? No, anybody can get a degree. You can do that. But you know what the whole purpose when we handed you that degree was? That when we handed it to you, it said, here, we're giving you a diploma that says you're a life changer. That's what this college is all about. I don't know what all the other colleges out there are about, but we're in this for the lives of people. You say, I got the paper, but did you get the purpose? Did you get the purpose? Sir, you're so caught up in the paper, you're missing the purpose. Yeah, I got the paper. That shows character. That shows diligence and drive. But I hope I got the purpose of this place. I didn't ask you if you wanted a degree. I didn't ask you if you wanted a pastorate. I'm asking you, do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking you if you want to be a pastor's wife. We don't turn this into an occupational choice thing. No! We're life changers! It's not the position you hold. It's what are you doing with your life to help other people? There are people here that may not ever pastor that work for us that'll change more lives than half the pastors across America. I'm not asking you if you want to be a bus captain someday. I'm asking you, do you want to be a life changer? I'll tell you how you can be a bus captain someday. Yeah, boy, I've been watching my bus captain. I'd like to do that. Change some lives. We can't help but give you a bus route. I'm not asking you if you want to be the spirit leader. I'm asking you, you want to be a life changer? Hey, I'm not asking you if you'd like to have a position to work for our college. I'm asking you, do you want to be a life changer? That's what we specialize in here. I'm not asking you if you want to be an assistant pastor someday. I'm asking you, do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking you if you want to be an evangelist someday. I'm asking you if you want to be a life changer. I'm not asking you if you want to win a contest or win a prize. I'm asking you, do you want to be a life changer? I'm not asking you if you'd like to sing in a tour group. I want to know, do you want to be a life changer? And if you want to sing in a group and you don't want to be a life changer, you're full of pride and vanity and all of that. You need to be a life changer. I'm not asking you if you want to be a youth director somewhere. I'm asking you, are you changing lives? I'm not asking you if you want to be the music director. I want to know, do you want to be a life changer? By the way, this is a decision you need to make. You need to decide, will I be a life changer or will I not? If you're not a life changer, there's a reason you're not a life changer. You don't want to be. Because God is starved for life changers. All he needs is somebody to say, that's what I want to be. And God will say, I'll bless you. Anybody that wants to invest their lives in changing others, I'll bless you. God's looking for life changers. He's starved for life changers. The greatest thing you can do in your life is to change another life for Jesus Christ. I think that's what it's really all about, right? I mean, that's what this whole thing is all about. Changing lives for Jesus Christ. You know why you came here? I can tell you why I came here. I came here to learn one thing. I came here to learn from Brother Hiles how to change life. Oh boy, you talk about a master life changer. You talk. He can walk into any pulpit and talk for 30 minutes. I'm sitting there totally rearranged. I'm thinking, wow, I have a whole new perspective on everything. Why? He's a life changer. You came here to be around the master life changer. Ministry is not a game. This isn't just one of those occupational choices, and when you were in high school, they had 20 little areas, and you could check one that you want to be, and you said, ministry. No, I'm in this thing for the long run, and I'm in it because God wants some life changers, and somebody's got to change lives. Get what you came here for. I don't know if you knew it, but you might have come here for a degree, but this educational institution's going to rot if she's not careful. She better make sure she's in it for changing lives, not pumping out graduates. We're trying to pump out people to change lives. That's what it's all about. It's a preacher's college. It's a preacher's college to change lives. All the paperwork in the world won't change your life. Life changing, that's what it's all about. You know what? This could change what I'm saying to you right now. It could change your entire attitude about every class you go into. When I went to my classes at Hiles Henderson College and listened to Brother Sprunger, and I listened to Dr. Evans, and I sat in there and I listened to people like Dr. Laurent, I sat there and I said, this man is going to help me learn how to change lives. Hey, and I wrote it in my heart, not just on a piece of paper, and I said, that's what I need to change lives. Now, why do you sit there? Give you a different angle when you stand up to teach, too. I want to teach to change lives and give them what God would give them so that they can have the life that God wants them to have. I said everybody ought to be a life changer, but you got to want to be a life changer. But a life changer has a changed life. The Bible says be doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, that prospective employee had somewhat of a changed life when we were considering hiring. They had the changed life, but they had not decided to become a life changer. All of you have a changed life. You have to live here. So you say, well, I got to change life. Good. So does everybody else here. I'm asking you, are you a life changer? But you got to have that changed life. You know, the reason that some of you don't want to be a life changer is because you've not had a change in life. That's it. So I don't want to be a life changer. That means your life needs to change. You personally need to have a changed life. Why do you think you were put on this earth? To suck air and eat Dairy Queen? I'm sorry. That's not it. Although some of you are accomplishing a wonderful, wonderful task there, that's not why you were put here. You were put here for God's purpose, and God's purpose is that you change lives. See, you have not changed your life enough to be conformed to Christ's image. Because if you were, you'd want to be a life changer because he is. You need to stop just listening. Start living.
You know, you could take everything you're taught in this school, take it out and change lives, if you would. You're too busy rejecting it for yourself. I don't live that way. I don't want to do that. How are you ever going to fulfill the purpose for your life if you're so busy rejecting the life change you need that could conform you to the image of Christ, which would make you a life changer? You're too busy saying no to the God that wants to change you. A life changer has a change life. You know, this message could change your life if you let it. You could say, wait, that's what it's really all about. And I'll change and become whatever God wants me to become so I can help other people to change their lives. I said we should all be life changers. But to become a life changer, you got to want to change life. You got to want to be a life changer. Do you want to be a life changer? Are some of you sitting there bored stiff right now? That's okay. Because this is what you call upper-level Christianity. I'm telling you, hey, the people that listen and take this seriously, you're going somewhere. God's going to use you. He's starved for life changers. To get a changed life, you got to want a changed life. Do you want your life changed? You're pretty satisfied with yourself. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Some of you don't want your life changed. You know why we can't teach in class? You don't want to take any notes at this point. You don't want your life changed. In your opinion, you're about as far along as what you need to be. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And let me tell you something. You're on your track down. You better be real, real careful. You better keep that notebook open. You better keep on taking notes. You better keep on absorbing. You say, I'm tired. Welcome to the club. We're all tired, but we just keep on going. Why? Because it's right to do. Some of you have decided you want to grow anymore. What you really need is somebody to knock you off your holy high horse. Somebody reminds you that God, He paid an awful big price for your salvation, and He didn't save you for you to sit down here and rot. You're too big for your own spiritual britches. Everybody here needs to grow. And everybody here needs to grow in this area that I'm talking about. This convicts me. So if it's not convicting you right now, you're probably not saved. This is very convicting to anybody that cares. Very convicting. We ought to all be saying, yeah, I need a big dose of that. Well, that's what I want. I want to change lives. I want to do something with my life. Hey, I want to go to bed at night knowing there's somebody else that's got some peace too. You know, you'd give up your rock music. I can tell you how to give it up. I preached on rock music here some weeks ago. I can tell you how to give it up. Just decide that you want to help people. You know, for a fact, that won't help anybody. You will change your life. Hey, you know, just deciding I want to be a life changer is going to make a whole bunch of other things come easier. You'd want to dress right if you want to be a life changer. But you don't want to be a life changer. You know who you care about? Oh, number one. You know, a bunch of you wake up every morning and you do this. I love me. I am my favorite person. What matters to me is what matters. You live in your own little world. I'll tell you how you can come out of that world, not be so self-centered and worried about old number one. I'll tell you when you'll stop fighting, getting all that sin out of your life. It's when you get your eyes off yourself and you say, God created me to change lives, and I can't change any life until I get to changing me. Now you gotta wanna be a life changer. You need to change your life. But you'd give up your desire to go to a secular college if you wanted to be a life changer. But you want to be an entertainer. That's what you want to be. You want to be an entertainer. You want everybody to see how intellectual you are. Intellectualism will mean nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. I'd rather have a stupid life changer than an intelligent pervert. And a successful pervert, someone that perverts the purpose of God for a person's life, is a pervert. And of course, a changed life is a result of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. But man, you can't even get salvation unless you want it. Do you want it? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. But you won't get saved unless you want to. You want to be a life changer. You're not going to be a life changer until you want it. You'd like to have your life changed. You're not going to have that until you want your life changed. The question is, though, are you a life changer. I was soul winning in Munster, Indiana. I won a man to Christ. Got him to come to church. He was a rock and roller, played in a rock and roll band up in Chicago, very successful. Came to church, long hair, bearded, bar hopping playboy, with money. But wicked. They're all, lost people are wicked. About a year later, came to my office. He was standing there with his hair cut, his King James Bible in his hand, asking what time I was picking him up for soul winning. We don't get them for the sake of telling the story about what they used to be. We get them for the sake of telling about what they are now. Well, we want to salvage every one of them we can. We're going to try to get everybody saved we can. I'm just asking, are you a life changer? Are you a life changer? From rock and roll creature to a new creature. I told a story earlier in one of my classes. A young lady, I went to preach at my Bible club on a Saturday. A teenage girl was sitting on the step of the City Baptist grade school at the back, and when I walked in, she quickly moved over to the side of the doorway there, and I said hi to her, and I walked in, went to my Bible club, preached, walked out, said hi to her again. She's scared to death of me. Walked in the next week, and there she sat, and she moved over real quick and wouldn't talk to me, and I said, good to see you, and I walked in, and I walked out after I preached in my Bible club, and she was sitting there and moved over again real quick. The third week, I sat down, and I said, thought I'd talk to you a little more today, and she wouldn't talk to me and looked over at me, and I got up and I said, nice talking to you, and I walked in, preached my Bible club, I came back out. This went on for 4 or 5 weeks, and finally I got a little relationship started with her. My wife had the privilege of winning her to Christ. I got to counseling with her. She was 14 years old, and she told me in the counseling, she said, my dad has been raping me since I was 9 years old, 4 or 5 times a week. I talked to her about some things that she should do, and talked to her mom, and they wouldn't report it, and then they wouldn't sign papers, and just all sorts of things. She'd get really mad at me easily. She hated men. She even told me that. She said she hated men. One time I said, well, if we don't get this taken care of, this anger, this bitterness that's down inside you, if we don't get it all taken care of, you're not going to have a happy marriage someday. She said, I'm not going to get married. I hate men. I'll never get married. Are you crazy, Brother Owens? You think I'd want a man? She'd get all angry with me. I said, what are you angry with me about? She'd run from men and just cower in their presence. From the age 9 to the age 14. We counseled her and we helped her. You'd never know who she was. You'd never know in a million years. She got married. She's 2 little kids. Comes to Sunday school every Sunday morning. Loves the Lord. Wants to serve God with her life. Something happened. Her life was changed. Mrs. Evans called me one day and she said, Lawrence, I need some help. We got a girl here that... I don't know what to do with her. Where are we meeting? Would you meet with her? I said, sure. Suicidal. Just causing havoc. 5 years later, she's working on a church staff somewhere right now. You talk about a dynamite lady. I couldn't tell you how capable that young lady is. Someone said she's got the mind of a genius. Suicidal, the church staff. Went to Christ out in Alsip, Illinois. He was a heroin addict. Nice house, lots of money, blew his money on drugs. Shot his big toe off, trying to kill himself. Real good shot. By the way, Brother Wolf, you need somebody for security. This guy's got it. I remember his wife coming by and saying she was weeping and mad. She was clenching her baby. She came by my house. She said, he did it again. He took all the money, Brother Owens, and he spent it all on his drugs. I'm going to leave. And she stormed off. He's an assistant pastor in the state of Arizona today. I got to ask, what are you doing with your life? Just living it? Your job... Take that railroad tie. and to turn it into something new. I got this from a young man that came here to college. It's a little plaque he gave me. It says, Brother Jeff Owens, the investor, the life changer. You know something, Brother Evans? I'm so glad I came here to... I'd rather be a life changer than the President of the United States. I'd rather do that than anything. Sure's a good life. Yes, Lord. You're looking for someone to use in a miraculous way. You want to talk to me about it. Oh, yes, they're separated. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Good attendance to their ministry? Yeah, yeah. Student? Yeah, Hiles Anderson College. Yes, sir. Teacher of the Bible? Uh-huh. Good listener? Yes. Oh, yeah. Good speaker. Good grades. Excuse me, sir. Are they what? Are they life changers? Not yet, Lord, but I'm going to make that decision today in the chapel. Just give them another chance. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Are you a life changer?